The ash tree has been in the news recently because it is in danger. Now, the tree is famous here in Ireland for its use in the hurley-making industry, but it's susceptible to the deadly fungal dieback disease. There is no vaccination and no cure. The disease is rampant in Europe. It has wiped out apparently 90% of ash trees in Denmark. And the first confirmed case of it in Ireland was discovered in Leitrim recently. The affected trees, also spotted in Meath, Monaghan and Galway, were destroyed and traced back to a 2009 import from Holland. Now, last Tuesday, Minister of State at the Department of Agriculture, Shane McEntee, introduced regulations that means Ireland can only import ash from disease-free areas or if it's been kiln dried or if it's had the bark and outer surface removed. But is it too little too late? Amy, you're president of the Tree Council. Are you getting a lot of calls?
We are getting a lot of calls. People are very worried about this and want to know how would you recognise this disease on the trees and all of this sort of thing. This legislation that was brought in by the Minister, I must congratulate him on it. It's very strict and strong legislation, and he's been in cooperation with the tree, with the forestry people in Northern Ireland. So this legislation covers the whole island. No importation of any kind of live material, and he's concerned particularly about the importation of firewood. People bringing in things to burn, and if they're ash with the bark on it, there's a possibility that this disease can come in as well. So the one occasion where it came in was in this importation of about 30,000 saplings from Holland in 2009, and they were distributed round to 11 different sites and planted out. So in four of the sites, I think, or five, the tree, first in Leitrim and then in few subsequent places, the disease was spotted. So all of those trees have been destroyed, plus a whole lot of trees in the area around them have all been destroyed as well. So that's a strict and strong measure, and so therefore it would seem that we are clear of it at the moment. But of course the worry is now, will it spread in on the wind from England? It's a spore, it's fungal disease, so the spores are the ones that, and that's how potato blight came in all those years ago on the
wind
from
England.
And that is
our concern. Well, we've had it for a month or so, as you've said, but our nearest neighbours, Great Britain, have had the ash dieback disease. It's an odd title, but anyway, we'll come to that in a moment.
It leaves dieback, you see, yeah.
Yeah, since February of this year, it was first discovered in a consignment of infected trees sent from Holland to a nursery in Buckinghamshire, and has since spread to 115 sites throughout England, Wales and Scotland. Now today, Britain's Environment Secretary Owen Paterson admitted that they believe ash dieback will not be eradicated now that mature trees are affected. Rather, the government's action plan is to try to slow the spread.
So the first part of the plan is leave the mature trees standing. If they do get the disease, they take a long time to succumb, and actually they often succumb with something else like honey fungus. But particularly watch really carefully for the genetic strain. Secondly, we continue our relentless trace back on imported trees and the ones that are infected in young stock, because we know young trees, once they get this, succumb actually very quickly.
Austin Brady is Head of Conservation at the UK's Woodland Trust, and he joins us from their headquarters in Lincolnshire. Hello, Austin. How are you today?
I'm good, thanks.
Now, that's a bit disconcerting, isn't it? Will not be eradicated.
Yes, I mean, there are some good reasons for that. The way the disease has behaved on the continent, once it's become established and got a firm hold, it's spread consistently and is very difficult to tackle once it's into mature trees. You have to be aware there's a difference between the disease coming in on small saplings, which even after they're planted, you can pull them back out. But of course, in parts of England, we've found the disease on mature trees in hedgerows and in woodlands. And we think that may have been there a little bit longer than earlier this year.
So it would have been in England before the saplings came, or did it come from the saplings into the mature trees, given that these saplings were imported from Holland a few years ago?
It's an excellent question. And if you look at the map that the Forestry Commission has published over here, you'll see that some of the dots are clustered up the east coast of England. And in some of those woods, we think the disease has been there for maybe 2 years. So there is a question that the disease, although we were sure it's come in recently on nursery saplings, there is a possibility that the wind may have brought some spores over on a previous occasion.
I'm looking at the map. In fact, I have it in front of me. And while the ones on the east coast are well away from us, do I actually see see one in Wales, and do I see one on the Isle of Man, or is that a misprint on
the
map?
No, you do see it, but I can explain why that looks the way it does. Those dots are where they've actually traced the imported saplings. So those dots are not showing you where the disease has spread. That's just showing you as far as the saplings got in terms of being taken from the nursery and taken out to be planted. So that's where the disease has been. Had assistance, if you like, to get further afield, but hopefully,
and they have been destroyed. Presumably,
they've been pulled out. Yes. Exactly, they've been pulled out and destroyed. So the red dots, which are back near the east coast, where the disease is in mature trees, that's likely to be a source of spores. But of course, they won't be on the move until maybe June or July next year.
Yeah, will you spell out to us, Austin, how the disease actually spreads? I mean, it's in the leaves, yes. And then the fungal spores have to land on the leaves. Now, ash trees, as we all know, are deciduous. The leaves are falling off at the moment. They won't come back until May. How does the fungus survive when there are no leaves for 6 months? Where is it?
Ah, well, that's the one to watch for, because the spores are actually down on the dead leaves on the forest floor. So we've already introduced some biosecurity measures, which are asking people not to take leaves or foliage or small twigs and branches out of the forest, and also to give the boots a clean as they leave. There's a very, very small chance of it being spread around on people's boots, etc. The principal spread is by the wind. So once the dead leaves are down there on the forest floor, and some of the fruiting bodies and spores are down there with them, they become the potential source of disease spread.
But are the leaves not gone? I mean, the leaves fall off the trees at this time of the year. Surely by the time May comes, there's no sign of last year's leaves or anything that was on them. I mean, where is the fungus? The leaves are gone.
Oh no, you're absolutely right. What we're expecting is the fungus, of course, is still within the tree. Once the tree is infected, the fungus is stuck in there, and it'll produce spores every year that it can. So it'll produce a new supply of spores every time. What we're concerned about in the short term is if we've got leaves on the forest floor now, which have got the tail end of this year's spores, we don't want anybody picking them up and taking them away.
Austin, a parasite that kills its host is on a hiding to nowhere.
You're right.
Is this a mutation? Is this a new form of this fungus? Or what are its ultimate origins?
Well, let me help you with that one. I mean, it's been known in Europe since about 1992 in Poland. And in terms of how the trees are affected over there, it's the younger trees up until about 10 years old are usually killed pretty quickly outright. The middle category up to about 30 or 40 years old take longer to go. But some of the large mature trees, they may actually be around holding the disease for many years and are not always killed by the Calara fungus. They're often attacked by a secondary fungus like honey fungus or malaria, for example, which gets into the weakened tree and might finish it off. So on the continent, there are some quite mature ash trees that have had the disease for some years and are still not killed.
That's the past. What about the future? What will England and Britain look like in a few years' time if this goes the way it is going at the moment?
Absolutely. It's a key question. Ash is very important to us in most of our lowland woods. It's mixed in amongst the hedgerows and the copses. But the more susceptible woods are the ones up in the likes of the Peak District in the Dales, which are mostly upland ash, and they'd really be decimated. But what we're hoping for is if we really monitor this closely and we don't rush in and fell all the trees and overreact, we might be able to spot the resistant part of the population in the ash trees and get those ones into breeding programmes that we can use to save the species before it gets too serious.
So what do you think the situation looks like for Ireland? We have this wonderful, good, strong legislation in now, and I congratulate our minister for bringing it in. So if it isn't physically brought in by anybody by mistake, can it come in the wind the way the potato blight came 150 years ago?
Well, that's a really good question, because the way it's moved on the continent, we know it's travelled maybe 20 or 30 kilometres in a year across Europe. And obviously, depending on the wind patterns and the weather situation, the spores could be carried possibly further than that. But what will be really interesting for you, I think, is to watch how the disease spreads in the UK. Now, we've done this survey across the whole area, which isn't telling us anything about how the disease has spread. It's really just finding where it is now. What will be really useful is to repeat that survey in a year's time and see if the disease has moved on a disease front across the country in your direction, and that'll tell you more about its speed of travel.
Our listeners were listening to this now, and they'll have ash trees because it's a very common tree in Ireland.
Yeah.
If you go out and look at your ash tree, how would you know if it had this disease or not?
Well, you're only really going to spot it easily when the trees are still in leaf, and you'll see a dying back of the leaf starting from the sort of the leading edge of the leaf, and that dieback getting into the central stem of the ash leaf. So it's different from the normal autumn changes. And if the disease has been in the tree for a little while, you'll find on some of the newer side shoots, you'll see maybe a dead patch below one of the branches, and you may even see a larger dead patch on the main stem. But there's some excellent full colour photos you'll see on the Forestry Commission website over here with a full guide to how to identify the disease, and that's certainly worth a look.
And we've got some information on our own site as well, rte.ie/MooneyRichard.
Of course, Austin, this would be a far greater tragedy in Ireland because our range of trees is much reduced on yours. You have a greater diversity of trees. If you were to eliminate our ashes, we would be much more impoverished than you are, and you are going to be badly enough affected by this.
Yes, absolutely right. I mean, it's this gradation, isn't it, back across from Europe in terms of as the ice sheet retreated and then the trees came back in again. We over here don't have as many species as the mainland of Europe, and you're in a worse position than us. So we're on the fringes of those populations, so we are a bit vulnerable.
I was listening to the Today programme last Saturday week, I think it was, on BBC Radio 4, and John Humphreys was giving the minister an awful hard time about was it too little too late, as we were asking the same question. Has the authorities acted quick enough, soon enough?
It's a tough call, that one. I mean, in terms of once the issue was brought to the attention of the authorities, they followed a more or less standard procedure about making an assessment, bringing in a ban and so on. The question for me really is whether the system itself was fit for purpose, because we know there's a range of tree diseases across there in Europe, and so we should be in a much stronger position to be looking out for them. So I think they reacted once they knew, but the question is, were we really geared up to be well protected in the first place?
Well, listen, thank you very much indeed for taking our call. Remember, you can find out more information by visiting our website, rte.ie/Mooney. Lots of text messages coming in. This ash dieback is obviously an anti-hurling pro-football conspiracy started by Pat Spillane. Hopefully it won't affect the commands of our beautiful game here, says Simon, who's listening in Drimna. Right. Anyway, this
we
one says...
We import a lot of our hurling section.
I know,
from Poland, as it happens.
This one says, I'm horrified with Aina ni Launa. It's not Halloween, it's Halloween, All Hallows Eve. Would Aina please eat a little humble pie? Well, make her a little bit later on, but I'm not sure you need to eat humble pie.
If I were spelling the thing, I'd spell it H-A-L-L-O-W. I can't help me old accent if that's what it sounds like to you on the radio.
There you are now. It's hardly a shooting offence, is it?
Well, the only thing you get wrong is a shooting offence to the people of Ireland.
I suppose it is.